From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, September 3rd, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gunnath Sheesh, Hawa Tuxignusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Conversations coming up this hour. September is here, and today we look at a bunch of First Friday happenings. We talk with the City Museum about First Friday, plus their Juno History Grant project. Juno Arts and Humanities Council drops in with new interim executive director Stacy Katas to share about a new gallery show, plus the annual food festival happening on Saturday. And September is National Recovery Month, and the Juno Reentry Coalition has events planned all month, including the Recovery Art Show opening this Friday at Alaska Robotics in collaboration with JAMI Health and Wellness. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. This Friday is the Juno Reentry Coalition has an art show. It's the Recovery Art Show, and it's opening this Friday at Alaska Robotics in collaboration with JAMI Health and Wellness. I'm joined in studio now by Taylor Dallas Vidic. Gunnath Sheesh. Taylor, how are you today?
So happy to be here, Boston.
I'm excellent. It's nice to see you as well. And I didn't actually, you didn't actually ask me a question, but I answered a question, which is good. First show back after a vacation, always got to get back into the groove.
Yeah.
I also have Rachel Gearhart here from JAMI Health and Wellness. Gunnath Sheesh.
Thank you for having me.
Wasiti, how are you today, Rachel?
I'm doing great.
Okay.
More sunshine.
Thank you so much. And then online via the power of the interwebs, we have Terry Tibbett. Terry, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We can. We can hear you. Excellent. Where are you? Because last time you were here, you were in the studio. Where are you now?
I am in Anchorage heading to Wasilla for a conference, so I'm way out of town.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we are here to talk about this recovery. Well, there's an entire bevy of events. I'll bring up a flyer. There's a few things happening this month. But let's talk about, here we want to talk mostly about this art show that's happening Friday, and then we can look ahead at a couple of the other events. But Taylor, I want to ask you, how are you involved? Are you helping get all these events going? Is this part of your work that you've been doing with JAMI Health and Wellness?
Yeah, this is a part of the continuation of helping JAMI celebrate their 40th anniversary this year. So this is another piece of that puzzle.
I see. And you're like the project manager or project coordinator to get JAMI Health and Wellness. We talked about that a couple weeks ago with all the various events, and this is one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Terry, can you tell us how this recovery art show came about?
Yes. So the Juno Reentry Coalition decided that they were going to do some Recovery Month activities, one of which is an art show. We were going to work separately, and then Taylor and JAMI and Rachel over at JAMI, they all offered us the opportunity to join with their event, which is a look back event that's happening at Juno Robotics on Friday as part of a First Friday kickoff. And so we were invited to join them. So it's really It is their event. I'm going to tell you, it's Taylor's event, and we're joining with them. It's not our event anymore. But what I can say is that we are going to have some art, and I can see you put up on the screen there. One of the pieces of this First Friday event is the Juno Reentry Coalition's art exhibit. And we've recruited art from the Lemon Creek Correctional Center. There's some artists out there that submitted some art, and that will be hanging there at the show. And then also the Polaris House here in Juno some of their members there came up with some art, and they contributed. So our part of the show will be some pieces from Lemon Creek Correctional Center and Polaris House. And that's all we have to do with it. The rest of it is Taylor and Jamie.
I see. But you're going to be back in a week or so to talk more about some of these other events that are coming up. The Recovery Film Fest, I think you're going to come back and talk to us about that later. Also, that you can see here, there's the Adopt a Highway, and then there's also a picnic closer to the end of the month that we'll also be talking about. Let me go back to this screen here. And so let's talk a little bit about these films then that you have. These are like lookbacks that you created with some filmmakers, Rachel. How did this come about?
Yeah, so Taylor, with her amazing connections, helped us connect with Pat Race, who has been really helpful in connecting us with some local filmmakers who are willing to learn about Jamie's stories and help record them. We've talked a little bit before when we've been on that 40 years is nothing to scoff at, and we maybe don't want to wait until 50 to capture some of these stories. So part of the effort was to capture these stories while we have them and kind of keep them, but we also want to share them with the community who we know is involved in them too.
Okay, and so just to remind folks, this is part of a First Friday event. It's going to be happening from 4:30 to 8. It is at Alaska Robotics downtown. And so are they going to be showing these films, Taylor?
Yeah, we'll have a projector set up, a handful of chairs, and then a viewing area. So it's kind of a three-part First Friday event, which is, well, four if you include the food. It's going to be really fabulous in a very full room. So we'll have the art from the Juno Reentry Coalition, the art that they've coordinated, and then art from Jamie clients and staff, which we've been gathering throughout the week, and it's been so cool to see what all these folks have created. And then there will also be the documentaries kind of just playing on repeat. They're mini docs, so 3 to 5
docs.
Minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're each 3 to 5 minutes. We've got nearly a dozen of them. And so we're covering all kinds of topics, starting from how Jamie first came to be into having conversations with current clients and current staff members, and really trying to capture a moment in time and look back over the last 40.
How cool. So can you mention some of the filmmakers that you're working with on this project? And did they get assigned a topic, or did they get to choose a topic? I'm curious how that creative process was.
Yeah, big kudos and shout out to Pat Race, because he very much has helped guide this process. And so we came to him and said, hey, here's what we're trying to capture. And it was Pat's idea, who said, well, we should work with a bunch of different filmmakers, because then you'll get unique perspectives from each of them. So we've got David Rosso, Ian Perez, Jordan Kendall, Josh Laboca, Nick Gall, Pat's making a film, Rachel Levy, Gemini Waltz Media, Shoshana Gungerstein. I should have practiced that before I said it. I hope that was right, Shoshana, and Val Kissel. And then a really fabulous duo that goes by Taku for Two. So
wow.
Yeah.
And so did they use their own resources to make these films? Did they shoot them on their phone? Did they have cameras? Do you know?
There's camera work. There's stop animation.
Oh,
there's
okay.
All kinds of stuff. We really said, here's your topic. That was Jamie Leadership came up with a list of people and concepts that they would like to be covered in these films. And then we assigned those topics out to these videographers and said, on your mark, get set, go. And they had 2 or 3 months to reach out and to interview these historical figures and find B-reel and come in and film interviews with current staff. And it's been really cool to see how different people do the process. So we're literally hosting a little mini film premiere on
That's
Friday afternoon.
That's kind of fun.
I've gotten to meet a few of them while they're capturing some of this film or stills or whatever they're doing. And so, the equipment has been different for every person, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they envision and how, what they learned from us comes into a creative project. I'm really excited to see the finished project.
And then they trimmed it down to 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a task right there to get a story and a narrative inside a short amount of time, which is very cool. And I know Terry could probably speak to this, but I want to ask you, Rachel, how important is National Recovery Month as an awareness tool for JAMI Health and Wellness?
Yeah, it's important. I think Juno Reentry Coalition has always been a huge supporter of Recovery Month, and so we're happy to help support that. It is important. We have people who need areas where they can connect in recovery, and so Recovery Month creates a lot of opportunities for connection. They say the opposite of addiction is connection or belonging, and so a lot of people who live in either addiction or, and it's recovery not just from substance use, it's recovery from mental health, like whatever you're recovering from, Recovery Month covers it all. And so creating opportunities where people can gather, connect, do sober, fun, interesting activities together, I mean, that's a win-win. So we absolutely support that. That's a part of what wellness is.
Absolutely. And Terry, can you speak to a little bit about National Recovery Month as well, just in terms of its importance? Because I love what Rachel just said here about that. It's not just you think immediately, like maybe your mind might go to, oh, it's recovery from an addiction, but it could be recovery from a lot of things.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. So Polaris House, for example, they're celebrating Recovery Month as recovery from mental illness. And there are a lot of people that go to, that hang out at the Polaris House that belong to that, that belong to the Polaris House Clubhouse model that are in active recovery from mental illness in terms of trying to get back on their feet with work, staying clean of substances, having a community to come together with and work on, you know, kind of staying stable and staying with community and not being isolated and that sort of thing. So I think there's a lot, it is a broad topic, mental illness, substance abuse, different kinds of behavioral health issues that people are celebrating recovery.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And I just want to let people know you can go to junoreentry.org, which is where you can find out about the Juno Reentry Coalition and all the events that they have coming up. As I mentioned, Terry will be back, I think it's in a week or so, to talk more about some of the things. We'll highlight the film festival, but you get a chance at a mini film festival this Friday, which is kind of cool too. And you can also find more information on JAMI at jamihealthandwellness.org, all the different programs. I know we were on a couple weeks ago. We sort of highlighted some of those programs and some of the things that JAMI does and celebrating 40 years, which is incredible. And what a great way to kick off September, right? I mean, to get down and have a little nosh and watch some movies and highlight some people and different things that go on with the organization. So it's 40 years of service. It's mini docs from those all those different sort of categories that Taylor was listing off before. There's going to be curated pieces from the Juno Reentry Coalition, from Lemon Creek Correctional Center, as well as Polaris House. And these are going to include paintings and drawings from local artists on the topic of recovery from addiction and or mental wellness, as well as many other things. This is a very cool project. Is there anything else that we want to say about Friday? We know it starts at 4:30, right?
Starts at 4:30. Come on by if you want to sit and kind of watch all these mini docs as they go through. Great. If you need to be in and out, that's fine too. We just look forward to seeing everybody and bring a hanky. They might be emotional.
Are you going to put them online at some point, do you think, Rachel? Like, you might curate a little website with these little mini docs?
We might do that, or we might have, you know, this is kind of the premiere. We might have a more robust showing later.
Oh, like you could have like a more.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I see.
It's possible.
Well, if Taylor Dallas Vidic, anything is
That's
possible.
Right.
It's my dad's fault.
I just want to say too, we just a couple weeks ago were here to talk about Jammy Jam, which was amazing.
Oh, good.
And so that was super fun, groovy, get down, and this is going to be a different kind of fun event too. So we got something for everybody.
Absolutely. That's so cool. Well, again, you can go to JunoReentry.org or JamieHealthAndWellness.org, or you can show up this Friday at Alaska Robotics for the Recovery Art Show, including some films. I really appreciate it. Rachel, Taylor, and Terry from online up in Anchorage there, thank you so much for coming by. I really appreciate
Thanks for having us.
Gwyneth Cheesh.
Thank you.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Let's have a little bird note.
This is Bird Note. As a kid, science writer Ryan Mandelbaum avoided birds, thinking they were gross and kind of scary. But when working on an environmental project in journalism school, Ryan had a change of heart.
I just came across a story about how the New York City Audubon Society was painting lawn flamingos white to try and attract great egrets back to an island off the coast of Staten Island. And I just thought this was so funny, and I had to learn more.
That led to a video project and a quest to capture footage of a great blue heron, a bird that Ryan had never seen before, which was actually hard to find for a totally novice birder. But after a lot of trial and error, and with some help from the New York City Parks Department, they found one.
Just seeing this bird emerge from its nest, it was so much bigger than I thought it was going to be, and it was so much more majestic and beautiful than I thought it was going to be. And it was just this mind-blowing experience, like, oh my God, like, this bird lives in New York City.
Now, Ryan and their spouse go birding all the time, planning vacations around what birds they might see. Finches have taken the top spot as Ryan's favorite birds, but the heron has not been forgotten.
Great blue herons still evoke a sense of like excitement and almost nostalgia for my earlier days going birding.
For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Wednesday, September 3rd, and on this day, back in 1927, federal prohibition enforcement officials were attacked by a brown bear while picking blueberries near the Eagle River Road. The bear leaped out of the bushes onto one of the men and severely chewed on his neck and shoulders. The other drove the bear off with several shots from his revolver. Both men survived. That's a look back at this day in 1927.
That's on today with Mike Lane. You can listen to Mike every morning during Morning Edition from 5 to 9 a.m. right here on KTOO. And right now you are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us via our live stream on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Join us. You can also make a comment if you want, and I might even be able to see it. It's excellent. It's a great new feature that we have here at Juno Afternoon. The Juno Arts and Humanities Council welcomes September with both a first Friday opening at the Jack Gallery, plus on Saturday, it's the annual food festival. And joining me now in the studio from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council is, as usual, Rochelle Bonet. Gwyneth Cheesh. How are you? Wasiyati.
Doing good. How are you?
I'm excellent. And also Stacy Katas, Interim Director at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. I always get it confused because the Jack and the Jack, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
The Juno Arts and Culture Center is run by the Juno Arts and Humanities Council.
Yes. The physical space and the concept space.
Yeah, it's a lovely play on words. Yeah. I love that. So welcome, Gwyneth Cheese, to you. Stacy, how are you?
Gwyneth Cheese for having me. Doing great.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about these events. I know you always have so much going on, but first let's tackle the first Friday and talk about this new show from Christine.
Sure. Yeah. So we're excited to feature Christine Kleinhens. She has new work that she'll be exhibiting. It's opening on Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. The show is called Silver Salmon Cycle from Egg Until Spawn. And it's all about the silver salmon and their cycle. She's going to have some large-scale paintings, probably some smaller scale. She's exploring color, natural connections, and this life cycle. I think her paintings are going to be very visually striking. What she said is she has quilted together her paintings in linear patterns to provoke the passage of time and flow of water.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so definitely stop by and check that out.
Well, on the for those who are on the live stream, you can see the poster for the event this Friday. It's from 4 to 7 p.m. It's first Friday, this September 5th, at the Juno Arts and Culture Center gallery. And you can see by this visual here, it is vibrant.
It is very
vibrant. It has like ocean, a lot of ocean feel. It's a lot of blue. A lot of fish, of course.
Of course.
And yeah, it's kind of fun. She's even got some crabs in there, which is kind of cool. So did you say she's like repurposing some of her stuff and making new things out of it? Is that kind of the sense?
I don't think that's what she's doing. I think what she's done is she started like a block of the painting and then covers it and starts a different block of another image and then kind of like pattern, like layers it that way. So the quilted together part, I think
that's what I heard. Yeah,
I think that's what she's referencing. Ooh. And like you can see it in the poster, kind of like that blockiness.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. That's going to be a lot of fun to see. I know Christine's been on the show before talking about her work. And these are also huge, apparently. Mm-hmm. They're 5x4 canvases. So she's working a little big.
Yes.
Working big.
And I believe that she started a lot of these paintings because she's been creating for a new book. I don't know if the book has been published yet, but if you would like to know more about that, come by and visit with Christine on Friday. She'll be there for the opening.
I got you. That's so cool. And that's going to run then the entire month, right?
It will, yes.
Now, speaking of the gallery, you are looking for submissions for next, like, 26, 27? Is that where we're at? Is that how I do math that year? Wow.
So actually, we have closed our call, and we have selected our season for the remainder of the year. And actually, that starts in October. It goes through next September. And we publish some of that information on our social media. So if you're interested in the future of like applying to be an artist in our gallery program, applications will open again in the early part of 2026.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. So you already have through next September.
Yes, that's correct.
So this show of Christine's is the last of the season.
That's correct.
We're wrapping up our 51st season.
Yes.
Wow.
I know.
And then you start again in October?
Yes.
Like there's no break?
No.
Why would you do that?
There's always artists to support, Boston.
That is true. There's always people to support and always people who want to get in there and be part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool. So that wraps up that season, the 51st season.
Yes.
What a wonderful thing, though, because you get to host a local artist. They get their stuff up for a month. I know I've spent a little too much money supporting the artists, but it's so good because you go in thinking, I'm just going to look, and then all of a sudden you're getting a red dot, and you're taking something home. So that's kind of cool. Again, that's first Friday, September 5th, 4 to 7 p.m. Light refreshments will be served, and it will be up all month in case you can't make it this Friday. But it sounds like it's going to be really cool. And if you have room for a big 5x4 canvas, pick something up. That would be kind of cool. Okay, but then you don't rest because, like, the following morning...
Yes.
Is a food festival and farmer's market?
Yes.
Stacy, tell
me. That is 10 to 2 on Saturday. It's the 18th annual food fest and farmer's market. It started in 2007.
We have a lot of vendors that are there. It's going to be both in the parking lot between the Jack and Centennial Hall and inside the Jack Main Hall. We have, I'm going to read this list, jams and jellies, sauces, fresh produce, seafood, baked goods, books, home decor, flowers, arts and crafts. There's really something for everyone. There's even someone that's doing tackle and fishing rods and artisan pet treats. Which Beaufort's Bakery is going to be there. My dogs have had their pupcakes before, and they're amazing.
I love Beaufort's Bakery.
Yeah. Yes.
That's so cool. And so it's too late to be a vendor, I would assume?
For this year.
For this year. Okay. Because these are – now this is another culmination, right? Because you have, like, these festival things throughout the summer –
all the fresh air markets.
The fresh air markets. And then is this the last one of the season?
That's correct. And then we move indoor for the spice market in October. And then the
stuffing. Yes. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I always go that because that one's like anything under $25, right? It's great for stocking stuffers near the holidays for sure. Yeah. But this is, how's the weather looking for Saturday? Is it looking good?
Right now, it's still looking nice. We're not supposed to rain until, I think, Monday or Tuesday last time I checked, but it always changes. So.
That's good. And so how many vendors will be there?
Ooh, I don't have a number. I can read off a list.
Let's count. One, two. No, just kidding.
I feel like there's got to be at least 40 to 50.
Wow. There's it's a lot.
Yeah. So I would say, yeah.
Does it take up the whole – how do you do it? The parking lot and inside? Or how do you do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the inside will be very, very full and then, like, kind of a little bit more spread out in the parking lot. But there's,
Wow, that's going to be so fun. Now, and that is what I love about it, too, is that it's, like, sustainably grown. It's local growers. It's people who are here. It's, like, you're supporting people who are doing that kind of thing in terms of both the food or the crafts, you know, which is really cool. And did you mention some of the people who are going to be there? Did I miss that?
We have the University of Alaska Fairbanks Cooperative Extension is doing a pressure canning demo. I think that's going to be pretty cool. That is going to be from 11 to 12. Okay. Paula's Pies, Four Plates, The Bear House. Let's see, I'm kind of just picking and choosing here. There's so many. Ed's Edible Landscaping. Ed Bayarski's going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
The Partnership's going to be there selling raffle tickets. The Juneau Chamber of Commerce is going to be there.
Okay.
It's really a wide variety. Throwing Olives, if you've had their olive oil and balsamic vinegar.
I always think of September. I always think of Labor Day as like the end of summer, but really this seems to be more of a marking of
right?
summer, right? In terms of finally, you know, everybody's got their harvest. They're willing to share it. You know, there was the harvest fair last weekend. Mm-hmm. Then we have this market here. And just what an opportunity. It's so cool. So it's going to be from when to when again?
It is from 10 to 2. And if you are looking to get produce, pro tip, you need to show up early because the produce always sells out
quick,
early.
Right? Mm-hmm. It goes really quick.
Yeah. Everyone wants that fresh Juneau produce.
Yeah, 10 to 2, and it's at the Jack.
Correct.
Downtown. Is there anything else we need to know about that?
It is free.
Free.
Yes.
There's no cost of admission.
No cost to attend.
Okay, cool. Except you got to buy stuff. But,
oh, yeah.
But you don't have to pay a ticket to get in.
That's correct.
Right. Okay, that's really cool. And so, Rochelle, what else is going on at the Jack Beyond First Friday and this Saturday? Are there events coming up this month that we want to highlight? I know, are the classes all over and things, or is there stuff coming up?
Stacy has a list.
Okay.
I have two that I wanted to highlight. We have the Juneau Piano Series on September 14th. Joseph Youngin's going to come in. And then on the 25th, we have Jack Laughs with Sam Miller. Both of those, you can find more information on our website at jahc.org.
I'm sure John Hayes will probably be in here to talk about the piano series, which will be good, and we'll highlight that. And then I know that right now you're also still looking for you're an interim director, but
correct.
You're looking for an executive director still that is open to the public, and you can find information on the website, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Like a whole job listing of all the things that would be
our job opportunities page.
Okay.
If you go to the homepage and scroll down, there's a block, there's a button there that says join our team.
Okay.
It'll take you right to where you need to go.
Okay, great. And that is open until filled.
Correct.
Okay. Sounds good. And other things going on, or is that the wrap on the Jack, or do you want to highlight some other First Friday events around town like you usually do? Or
I would mention one more event for First Friday, really quick. So we're actually partnering with the Juneau Suicide Prevention Coalition, and we're hosting a Wall of Remembrance at the Jack.
Okay.
That's through the whole month, and we're inviting folks to come through on First Friday and participate. It's kind of an interactive wall. It's in the lobby, and you can add names of loved ones that you've lost or friends, quotes, memories, and you can also access resources at that wall.
Oh, great. Okay.
And there's more information about that and what the Juneau Suicide Prevention Coalition is doing. And that's on the First Friday listing page, which you can access at jahc.org/first-friday, in addition to all the other things that are going on around town.
Yeah, because everybody puts their listing up on there. So if you're looking, because is September, it feels like sometimes the summer, the First Fridays are a little smaller.
Yes.
But like September sort of kicks off the season.
It does. It starts to get busy. And then I think October, November, December, those are the really, really big months.
Yeah.
So
we're
headed into the busy season.
And you can check out more. We're also going to hear next from the City Museum about what they've got going on. As well for First Friday. First Fridays abound.
Yes.
You know, it's so cool. Well, Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, Rochelle, Stacy, thank you so much for coming in and taking a few minutes to tell us about what is going on. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Boston.
Gwyneth Cheesh. Okay, you're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Up next, we're going to listen to this week's Our Living Lands from Native Voice One.
This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A group of young Indigenous men spent a week on the Wind River Reservation for a photo camp with National Geographic. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman attended a showcase for the student photographers who camped, fished, and helped with a bison harvest while honing their photography skills. Our Living Lands producer Daniel Spalding spoke to her about the experience.
Can you tell us a little bit about the photo camp and what the students did there?
So this is the third year that Nat Geo's hosted this kind of camp in Wyoming. The big picture idea is pretty simple. It's all about mentorship. Professional photographers partner with young people in different places around the world, and they spend a week learning together and taking photos. The crew this year was made up of folks from the Wind River Reservation and the surrounding area, and from the Menominee Reservation in Wisconsin. They spent the week at Crow Creek, which is in the northwest part of the Wind River Reservation. That was their base camp. They hung out with an orphan baby bison named Ruby, visited bison and jumps, and just got to explore, hang out, and take a lot of cool photos. And it was an all-guys group. National Geographic explorer Ronan Donovan helped organize the camp with Indigenous community members and explained the why behind that choice.
Young men are struggling in disproportionate ways to young women, and the ripple effects throughout communities and societies, I feel like, is profound.
You recently attended a showcase for the photo camp. Can you describe some of the photos you saw and what that event was like?
The showcase was really special. It was on a Friday night at Central Wyoming College at the Intertribal Education and Community Center on campus. There were families and kids and elders too. Everyone piled into this classroom and watched a slideshow on a big screen projector. The photos were super stunning. There were a few that really stood out to me. A silhouetted hand reaching into the sky, Ruby the bison resting its head on someone's chest, a grandmother and her granddaughter with their faces lit up by the sun. And after the slideshow, the group sang this prayer song for everyone.
You spoke with some of the photographers. What did they have to say about the experience?
They had some great reflections. I chatted with one in the hallway right after the slideshow.
My name's Corey Budley, and I'm a student photographer for National Geographic. Can I say that?
Budler is about to be a senior at St. Stephen's High School on the Wind River Reservation. He said meeting new people and having new experiences were highlights, but one thing definitely stood out.
I've never seen a buffalo get harvested before, so that was pretty crazy to see.
He came to the photo camp last year too, but he still had some new takeaways.
Learning about portraits, how to take portraits, and messing around with light. I think most of my favorite pictures were like landscape. I took a photograph. It was of like some wheat. It was kind of dark, a little moody. It was like cloudy sky, and I really liked it.
I also talked with Jackson Taylor. He's 18 and just graduated from Moscow High School in Idaho. Taylor said the bison harvest was a huge highlight.
After the buffalo was killed, seeing the herd gather around it and doing their dance for it and respecting it, it felt like as many emotions as we had that day, all those buffaloes had the same, if not more intense emotions and feelings.
He also had some more technical takeaways.
I learned that I tend to crop the bottom and the top out of every image without fail. So I think when it comes to lessons, that's the biggest is zoom out more.
So one more question for you. You report on a lot of different indigenous stories in the region. What was unique about this story that made you want to cover it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think photography and storytelling are super powerful tools. And who's behind the camera or the microphone or the pen, I think it makes a big difference. But Jackson Taylor, who we heard from earlier, summed it up way better than I can. He said the group talked a lot about this idea of photography as a weapon.
It's not a weapon that kills. It's a weapon that reveals truth and knowledge and information. And it's one that gives instead of takes. And I don't think there's another weapon like that on the planet. So I want to use that weapon in my life to give as much as I can and wield the camera responsibly as we all should.
Taylor told me he wants to make a career out of photojournalism or documentary filmmaking. And really, this whole event gets me psyched for the next generation of storytellers.
Tune in next week for more stories about how climate change affects tribal communities. I'm Antonia Gonzalez for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kuwanic Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Besikuli. The word this week is teeth.
Teeth.
That means chum or dog salmon. And here's a sentence.
Teeth to this lind dach uch arch yes yut.
Dog salmon too. They swim to Teslin in the fall. Let's hear it again.
Teeth.
Chum or dog salmon. Gunnish jish to hune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Besikuli is Kokhetan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Deslin and grew up spending time in Teslin. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Taku Society.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Step in to the savory moment. Jollof rice arrived in late December. You'd been expecting the visit ever since this bright and spicy West African party dish saluted from your favorite cooking newsletter. You're always auditioning new recipes, especially warm, colorful ones, to ward off the winter winds and freezing rain on Alaska's southeast coast. Jollof rice stood on the doorstep looking like a small bonfire, announcing it would be starring in your first ever Kwanzaa celebration and that you were to gather ingredients. Canned whole tomatoes, red bell pepper, a habanero, ginger, garlic, basmati rice, broth, red onion, and turmeric and smoked paprika. As for the cooking pot, you received it as a Christmas gift, a 5.5-quart Dutch oven in smoky teal. Entering the kitchen, jollof rice swept past you and headed straight for the pot, as though they'd arranged the meeting in advance. You were advised to take notes. Jollof rice is cooked in a thick sauce, so slow bake rather than using the stovetop. Make a large quantity, because dinner guests will want seconds, but more likely thirds. Cleats and boots cast aside, your Kwanzaa guests gathered around the table where the jollof rice glowed like embers, melting all worries about black ice on the roadways. Had the pot of rice looked up, it would have seen a ring of curious faces drawing closer to its warmth and, inevitably, to each other. Looking around the table, you saw brows furrowed, as if everyone was trying to identify a secret ingredient hiding in the shadows. No one was thinking about wind or rain or the treacherous travel to come. Peace can be like that, settling between cracks when something else, like Jollof rice, has your attention. You just have to open the door. Find the full recipe for Southeast Coast Jollof rice at savorymoment.org from the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska. I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Well, more fun First Friday activities with the Juno Douglas City Museum. As always, I am joined by Kate Ross. Gwyneth Cheege. Kate, good to see you. Wasiti, how are you?
I'm so good. It's September. It's sunny. Last week, there were actual crunchy leaves on the ground. Like, I was walking to my car, and just the most delightful sensation. Crunching leaves.
And today, apparently, there was a heat advisory.
It's crazy.
It was supposed to get up to 80 degrees.
That's too much. Let's not take it that far. Let's simmer down now.
That's a little too much. I was just like, I heard that from our morning edition host, Mike Lane, today. He said there's a heat advisory for 80 degrees later today. And I was like, 80 degrees to some people in the country is nothing.
Yeah, but to us, we're like, I'm sorry, I'm sweltering. Like,
I'm dying. I'm melting.
Bring the ice water. Exactly.
So let's talk First Friday at the Juno Douglas City Museum. What's on tap?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm very, very excited for First Friday. I mean, I'm excited for every First Friday, let's be real. So we have another one of our performance hours happening this First Friday that we've had this whole series going all summer. And so we have our First Friday from 4 to 6, but the performances will be happening between 4:30 and 5:30.
For those that don't know, explain what this is.
Yes.
This is part of a big, giant thing you've had all summer.
Exactly. So our summer exhibit here at the City Museum has been Wild Joys, creating community through the performing arts. And so because of that, we've been really intentionally reaching out to our performing arts community and bringing them into our space and bringing the exhibit to life, truly, through having all these different performers in the museum on a little stage, part of a living part of the exhibit. So we've had a bunch of Thursday lunch hours, the last one of which will be Thursday, September 18th, last Thursday lunch hour performance.
Okay.
And then we have First Fridays. And so First Friday, 4:30 to 5:30 at the City Museum, live performances.
And is this something that people can still sign up for?
For First Friday, we are booked, but for Thursday, we would love some more people to sign up. If you're a performing artist of any type at all, as long as you keep it PG, since we're a public museum, sign up. We've got spaces available still. It'd be fun.
I saw in your social media, I think you had Lisa Denny in there playing the ukulele, which is kind of cool. Because there's like a little stage and you can get up and you can do your thing, right?
Yeah, there's a real little stage that the incomparable Bo Anderson built.
Yeah.
And last week we had Annie B do a little pop-up performance.
Oh, nice.
We've had some dance. We've had theater. We've had a lot of fun stuff.
You mentioned that Thursday, the 18th of September, is the last one, but is there every Thursday until then?
No, we're not doing every Thursday.
It's been
like one or two Thursdays a month. And
okay.
So we have this First Friday, September 5th, and then there's Thursday noon, September 18th.
Okay.
And then our final First Friday, it's the last First Friday of the exhibit,
yes,
is October What is that?
The first Friday of October.
The first Friday of October, whichever day that is.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So we've had a lot of fun, different people all summer. We're kind of wrapping it up. But yeah, lots of fun stuff to still see.
Has it been, have you felt like it's gone well and that it's been successful in terms of the opportunity for artists as well as audience to come in and be and share the community space?
Yeah, I think it has been. Every artist who has come has, I think, really enjoyed their time. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback. We've had a wide range of audience sizes. There's been sometimes where we've had a number of people show up and, you know, just for the performance. We've had other days where it's primarily visitors to the museum, which is fun in a different way. You know, it might be independent travelers or people off of cruise ships coming into the museum. And then it's like, oh, by the way, we have a performance hour happening.
That's something that I think as a visitor, you would not forget. You'd be like, I went to the City Museum and there was somebody like, playing an ukulele.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of cool. Or doing a monologue or singing some tunes. That's kind of cool. I love that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a few more opportunities for that, including this Friday. And you said the performances are from 4:30 to 5:30?
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. 4:30 to 5:30. And so this first Friday, we have three different performers or groups of performers. We have Harmony Laboca, who is a young, I think she's either, oh, I'm going to put my foot in my mouth. She's either 11 or 12, I believe.
Oh, wow.
She's a young singer-songwriter who performs a lot of her own original songs.
Wow.
Which is really incredible. So
That's cool.
We're stoked to host her. We also have Jonas Lamb doing original poetry. He has a book of poetry coming out soon, and he reached out saying, hey, can I come and do a reading? And I was like, why not? That's performing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's going to be really cool. And then we have Sarah McNair Grove and a whole group of her friends, a woodwind ensemble.
What?
Yeah.
So cool. So so start your first Friday at the museum, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Catch some of these performances. Again, that's 4:30 this Friday, September 5th. And you can, of course, you can find anything we're talking about with the museum here at juno.org/museum. Everything is on their homepage there. And one of the things that's on that homepage that I noticed was this history grant situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's been done before.
Mm-hmm.
Applications are open now. Is that right? So tell me about the history of the history grant and what we're looking for this time around.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So the history grant, it is open right now. Applications are due October 1st. This is a pretty wide-ranging grant, and there is a flexible amount of money because it is project-based. So it's open to anyone, an organization, groups, individuals, anything related to Juneau or Douglas history or just the kind of local area here. It could be things like research, doing your own learning, recording, archiving, anything like that. But it's also available to people who want to create something maybe more artistic. So in terms of if you have a story you want to tell through performance of some kind or through writing a book or writing music. There's a lot of different ways that you can go with this. It has been in the past, there's been amounts from like $400, $500 up to maybe $1,200. And I do know that those amounts are flexible.
So it's like if I have something about Juneau and or Douglas history that I want to promote or highlight, something that maybe people don't know, or maybe it's something they know, but this would be a different way to do it. And I know I saw in here it says something about like community signage or memorial could be part of it. So it might be an area of town that needs some kind of memorial structure.
Yeah.
And you could pitch that idea. So you don't necessarily, if you're not a performer or something like that, you don't have to do that. But you could also do like, it looks like you said a recording. So you could make like a little audio or video recording. Maybe you're archiving like your neighbors in terms of construction of houses in the area or something like that would be pretty cool, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can go with it. Really, as long as it's something around preserving or sharing Juneau's history or culture. So
yeah.
That's a pretty wide,
that's
wide,
pretty wide
net.
Open. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be performances, any kind of public presentation. So if you wanted to do some research on a topic that you were really interested in and give a public presentation, video, audio recordings, anything like that. The community signage or memorials, I think, is a really cool way that you could
go with it too. Yeah, it can be kind of fun. And then does this project get its own showing at the museum sometime, or?
No, if it was something like something audio or visual, it would most likely be posted on our, you know, maybe our website or promoted like that. If it was a performance or a presentation, that would be something that we would discuss, you know, holding at the museum. But in the past, one of the winners of the history grant was Betsy Longenbaugh. She used some of that money to help publish her book, the first one. The one that's...
Murder in the Capital City, I believe.
So that one we sell at the museum store as well, okay. Which is cool. But yeah, the big thing with that is it just has to be a tangible product. So anything about Juno's history and then produce a tangible product.
Okay, a tangible product. I like that. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. And then the other thing that happens in the summertime, Kate, is a lot of people get out walking. And I know you have a couple of tours left for the summer versions of these walking tours.
Yeah, so we still have the Capitol tours going through the month of September.
Okay.
And those are a couple of them in the afternoons, Monday through Friday. Mm. Those ones are free. That's a great thing to send if you have anyone coming to visit who's interested in our politics or who's checking capitals off their list as they go.
Yeah.
So those are free. And then we have the historic downtown Juno walking tours that are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. We've got a couple weeks left of those.
Mm.
And then we have only one specialty walking tour left.
What is that?
For the whole season. It's a Capital Killers tour. It's a true crime walking tour with Ed and Betsy, with Ed Schoenfeld and Betsy Longenbaugh. Yep.
Speaking of Ed and Betsy, yeah.
Yep, and that one is on Friday, September 12th.
And those sell out.
Those sell out.
They always sell out, either whether they do them from the museum or whether they do them for their benefits for the church.
Yep.
They always sell out, so get your tickets soon. I'm assuming you can get those at the City Museum website?
You can, not through the website. You can get more information through there. You can send us an email. You can come into the museum, or you can call and we can do it on the phone. We can take payment and do that over the phone.
A phone?
A phone?
What is that? I dial a number.
You have to talk to a person. If you're lucky, it might be me. And I'll say, yes, I can absolutely help you out with that. How many tickets would you like?
I see. Okay. Because, you know, some people don't like talking to people and they like the internet.
Well, they can send an email.
Okay, they can do that. That's good. But you can find it all at juno.org/museum. Or what's the phone number that they would call, Kate?
What a great question. It's 907-586-3572.
3572, 586-3572. Now, the other thing that happens with the end of the summer is that we move into fall and winter hours here pretty soon, right?
We do.
We want to mention that to folks?
Yeah. So if you want to come in for these extended hours, or if you want to come in on a Sunday, September 26th is your last day to come and do that. I think that's the right day. That's a Saturday.
Beginning Sunday, September 28th.
28th. I had the wrong day.
Yeah.
Looking at my wrong page. At any rate, end of September is when our summer hours go through, and then we will switch back into those winter hours where we will be open Tuesday through Saturday instead of 7 days a week, and closing at 4:30 weekdays instead of 6 o'clock. So a little bit more limited hours. But when we switch to those winter hours, it switches to free admission as
free
well.
Free admission. And that's still time when people might still be visiting you. So if you have visitors coming
in
after
October.
September, in October, they're visiting you. Take them to the museum. It don't cost you nothing.
Exactly.
Although I think the rate that you guys charge is
it's pretty reasonable.
What is that?
$7.
Okay. To support the City Museum. That's wonderful. That is a wrap on the City Museum for this month, right? Or is there anything else that's going on? We want to tease a little something maybe.
I got a little bit of something to tease.
That's right. What is it?
I think that you've asked about it before. We've had a couple other people ask about it. People are wondering, as we start to get about 6 months away from deadlines, what the theme for this year's 12x12 will be.
12x12 if you
want it to
be.
12x12, our community art exhibition.
Oh, man.
That's
so good.
In the spring.
Okay, so are you going to give us a little tease?
I can give you a little tease.
All right.
Let's see. You could think about the rainbow. You could think about Wizard of Oz a little bit, but maybe just not like the story of Wizard of Oz, but certain things that happen in the movie. You could think about explorations on a single theme.
Okay. These are good. Maybe next month we'll get the hard truth out of you, but it's giving something for people to think about. Explorations on a single theme and Wizard of Oz.
And the rainbow.
But not necessarily the story of Wizard of Oz, but something about the Wizard of Oz itself. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If anyone thinks they know what I'm talking about,
email Kate.
Email me. I would be so interested to know.
Is it Kate Ross? Kate.Ross at Alaska.gov?
Oh, close. It's Kate.Ross at Juno.gov.
Juno.gov. Okay, right, because the Juno.
Because it's the Juno Douglas City Museum.
Yeah. So Kate.Ross, Kate with a C, Kate.Ross at Juno.gov. If you think you might know the theme, maybe she'll give you a sticker or something.
Oh, I will definitely. If you guess the theme, I will absolutely give you a sticker.
I love that. Thank you, Kate, so much. Gwyneth Cheesh, for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Gwyneth Cheesh.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Let's go out today with a little Buddy Tabor, Wait For Me.
Changing, nothing's moving, except that a river as she rolls home to the sea. Nothing's changing, nothing's moving, and I wonder if you ever think of me. Wait for me when the darkness is calling and the night takes the light from the day. Wait for me if I've stumbled or fallen. Wait for me if I lose my way. There's so much that we have forgotten. There's so much we've lost on our way, and all the things we once held as golden in our hands now has rusted and decayed. Wait for me when the darkness is calling and the night takes the light from the day. Wait for me if I've stumbled or fallen. Wait for me if I lose my way. When at last this mystery's unraveled and I stand by the warmth of love's flame, and the clouds of confusion are parted, and I hear someone calling my name. Wait for me when the darkness is calling and the night takes the light from the day. Wait for me if I've stumbled or fallen. Wait for me if I lose my way. Wait for me.
So that's a little Buddy Tabor with Wait For Me. That'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. We are Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Akbe 91.7. Hello, out the road. You can find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Support comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and listeners and viewers like you. Gwyneth Cheese!